Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, as hard as it is to believe, this next Monday, we will air the 150th episode of this year. This is actually today's episode, episode number 149. It will be our last Wednesday or Friday episode of the year. We're taking a little bit of time off between Christmas and New Year's. We'll have one last jumpstart rewind. But 150 episodes, that's a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's a lot of talking, but it's also a lot of listening to our guests.
And
we appreciate you hanging in there with us so much.
Absolutely. I appreciated your sermon from this past Sunday. I think it's something that perhaps the broader religious world doesn't talk about, perhaps as often as it should. It can be a sensitive subject in the 21st century. But it's straight out of the Bible, God's rules for life. Why don't you hit the high points of that sermon for those who haven't had the opportunity to watch or listen?
Absolutely. And we encourage you to go back, because there, even those that were here or those that watched it for the first time, there was a lot of stuff in this sermon. And it'd be good just to go back through it once more and just kind of get those things all clear in your mind. We base it on Matthew chapter 19. When we talk about the rules of life, we understand that there's rules of all life. And, you know, no matter what you do in life, there are certain rules. Child goes to school, there are school rules. Before you get behind that car, you have to understand the rules of the road. Before you start a new job, or the first day on that new job, they're going to give you the company manual. Here are the rules of this company. And we understand that in all aspects of life. There are thousands of tax laws, tax rules. And so it should not surprise us that God has rules for our life. In fact, when we really look at this, there's not one aspect, there's not one little corner of your life that God has just left it open for you. There are rules about attitude, there's rules about money, there's rules about parenting, all kinds of rules. And that can be overwhelming to us. And we can look at the Bible as just nothing but a rule book. But it's a book of life. And once you understand this righteous life that God wants you to live, the rules start falling together. You start understanding this is what God wants us to do. So Sunday, taking that idea at the very beginning, we looked at what God's rules are for ending a marriage. We talked about the subject of divorce. Very sensitive topic. A topic that most churches have given up on. They don't even talk about that these days. They've moved on, and they just, whatever you do is just fine with them. Well, God has rules, and these rules are important. And so what we wanted to do is walk through particularly Matthew 19, but we looked at the other gospel accounts and look at what God said about this important subject. The context begins in verse 3 where the Pharisees asked him a question. And the question was intended to trap Jesus. It was a test, the verse says, or a trick question. And the question simply surrounds this idea, can you get a divorce for any reason? Now, the state of Indiana in which we live in would say, yeah, you can. Most states today say, yes, you can. In fact, we've gone to the point where you don't even have to have a reason. It's called no fault. We're just going to end the marriage. Well, what we did is we walked through how Jesus replied in those verses, and we noticed what God said about that. So when they began that question, can a man get a divorce for any reason? Is it lawful? They weren't talking about the law of the land. They're talking about God's law, and that's what we have to appreciate and look at ourselves. And Jesus answered that in verse 4 by saying, have you not read? And he took him back to the book of Genesis, God's book. And again, I have an opinion, you have an opinion, every church has an opinion, your family has opinions, your neighbors has opinions, the coworkers have opinions, all these opinions. And Jesus could have thrown in his opinion. But what he did is he took it back to God. And that's how we have to address all these questions. What are God's rules about divorce? Well, what does God say? And that's where we went to. And we see as Jesus went through this in verse 6, he said, no, you cannot get a divorce for every reason. They replied with another question, trying to get Jesus against the law of Moses. And in that little exchange there, in verse 7, verse 8, Jesus again said, no, you can't. And then he gave God's principle about divorce or ending a marriage. It comes to verse 9, I say to you, whoever divorces a wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And so we went through that and kind of, I'm not going to repeat the whole sermon here, but we kind of went through that and looked at that in detail as we talked about God's law and how important that is.
Yeah, I appreciated you being willing to address that. You mentioned earlier that a lot of churches have moved on. It's not the easiest subject to talk about. Obviously, there are always questions that people have as they compare the scriptures to different cases that they have seen. And sometimes it takes a long time to talk your way through that, study your way through that, and make sure that everyone understands. It's not the most enjoyable thing to preach. I mean, I think we would both agree on that. And yet, so very important because of that last verse that you looked at that begins with Jesus in Matthew 19:9 saying, I say to you. And any time the Son of God says something like that, we need to pay attention. We need to be willing to study. We need to be willing to apply and stand by and share with others. I really appreciate it on Monday morning, about 24 hours after you had shared this sermon, one of the relatively new members of our church family shared the sermon post on Facebook and encouraged people to go back and watch and study for themselves. And he even mentioned, you might have heard that in larger churches, things like this don't get preached on, but he was thankful to be a part of a church that was willing to delve into everything that the scriptures have said. And you mentioned on Sunday, you didn't address every possible question. And of course, we can't possibly do that in the context of this podcast. But I came up with three or four questions, really, as you preached and I reflected on Matthew 19 throughout the rest of that day. One of the bedrock verses that came to my mind was from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Just very succinctly building on what Jesus had taught in Matthew 19, the writer of Hebrews says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Now, that's just one statement, but in so many ways, it encompasses the point that you were trying to get across on Sunday. What do you think it means for marriage to be held in honor?
First of all, marriage is something that God thought up, not man. And so this is not something that man kind of worked out, evolved to, and then we throw some God into it later on. This whole idea is God. And God designed it, and God manufactured it, and God was the one who ordained it and set forth. And so for a marriage to be held in honor, it has to follow God's rules. There's no way around that. And so the purpose and the intention of marriage is much broader than my happiness. I like this person because they make me laugh. I like this person because they make me feel good. I like this person because they make me happy. It's got to be much larger than that. And what it does is it honors and glorifies God. There's never a way a wrong can become right. If it's wrong, it's got to be stopped. And so in that very verse in Hebrews 13 verse 4, which you read, there's a contrast there. There's marriage that's honorable, and then there is immorality and adultery, which are wrong. And so the marriage that's held in honor is that which is going to glorify God. It's a husband and wife that's going to keep their marriage pure as it ought to be. They're going to walk with God through what God says. They're going to stand more than just the rules of ending the marriage, which our sermon was about Sunday. What are the rules of marriage? How's a man to treat his wife? How's a wife to treat her husband? And to look at those rules, when we follow God's way, it brings out the best. And that's why God has all these rules for us, because he knows on our own we will mess things up. On our own we get selfish. But when we follow God's rules, it makes us safe, and it makes us healthy, and it makes it the way God intended for it to be.
Yeah, it makes me think of an everyday principle that we interact with all the time. It's one thing to see something. It's another thing to hold it in honor. If you've ever been, let's say, to Washington, D.C., to that Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, lots of people pass by that, right? But maybe you have been present at that amazing memorial and solemn setting where someone wasn't really holding those hallowed grounds in honor. I can remember years ago being there with my family, and if you've ever been there, there's a kind of amphitheater area where you can sit down and watch as these guards pace back and forth, and maybe you're there at the right time to see the changing of the guard, and there are signs just everywhere telling you you are to be quiet, respectful, still. And there were two teenage boys behind us that, let's just say, they weren't being very quiet. And all of a sudden, they got the attention of a Marine who reinforced for them very quickly that this is to be held in honor.
And we use that word honor in a lot of noble ways.
Yeah.
The highest medal in the military is the Medal of Honor. Somebody who has sacrificed the ultimate to protect others. In school, there are such things as the honor roll.
Yeah.
It's something that's really high and respectful. And so to hold your marriage in honor means you're not going to take it for granted. You're not going to neglect. You're going to pay attention and realize that my relationship is something that's precious and fragile, and you've got to take care of it.
Yeah. I'm going to respect my marriage, and I'm going to respect the marriages of others, right? And that leads us maybe to a second follow-up question. The writer says, let marriage be held in honor among all. I think that gets us to the idea that, well, maybe I'm single and someone else is married. You think of Joseph, for instance, and Potiphar's wife. Joseph, as a single man, was to honor the marriage of someone else, even though he himself was single. So, why does God care, do you think, that marriage be held in honor among all, not just, let's say, members of a church?
Yeah, and really, there's two thoughts that come out of that. To what you just said, you know, there's a lot of office flirting going along.
Yeah.
And people just say, well, we're just having fun. We're just here. You're not serious about your marriage if you're flirting with someone else. Someone may think, well, man, you're just old-fashioned, you're out of touch. But you know what? There's certain words that only go to your mate. There's certain looks that only go to your mate. There's certain words should only be said to your mate and to no one else. And this funning around, this fooling around, this little flirting around, that's not taking your marriage nor the marriage of someone else very seriously. And again, to this passage, we have to respect not only our relationship, but those of others. And then also the other aspect of this among all is this applies to all people.
Yeah.
Again, this gets back to Matthew chapter 19 when these Pharisees asked Jesus this first question, can we get a divorce for any reason? That was a trick question. These were not followers of Jesus. These were not believers. They were trying to show and prove to the world he wasn't the Messiah. They're trying to put him in the corner and say, see, you're a blasphemous false teacher. When Jesus came to verse 9 and he talks about God's law about ending a marriage, he said, I say to you. Who's the you? The you are these unbelieving Pharisees. Then he says, I say to you, whosoever. So that means whether I belong to a church or not, whether I believe in the Bible or not, whether I even think God exists or not, the rules of God apply. Now, we understand that again in other areas. Let's say you go to a foreign country and you're driving a rental car and the speed limit is so many kilometers per hour as it is over in Europe. But you drive as fast as you want to drive. You're pulled over and you say, you know what? I don't belong to this country. These rules don't apply to me. You see how far that goes.
Yeah.
You won't have a rental car the rest of the day because you'll probably be in jail. We understand that doesn't work. Somebody in our country has to go by the rules. And so whether I am a Christian or not, whether I belong to God's church or not, whether I'm a believer or not, whether I even read my Bible or not, these are the rules of life.
Yeah, this is the will of my Creator. And we understand that principle when it comes to our salvation. The same word is used in 2 Peter 3 when the Holy Spirit leads Peter to emphasize God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, right? And that's the same word here in Hebrews 13. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. He goes on to say, let the marriage bed be undefiled. Roger, what do you think that we need to understand from that directive?
Let's go back just a second because I got another thought here.
Okay, please.
I got to grab them when I get them because they don't come very often. But back among the all,
yeah.
Okay? Undefiled among all, okay? Held in honor, rather, among all. Hollywood ignores this,
yeah.
And we have to realize this. Most TV shows, most movies will show unmarried couples in a sexual relationship. When Hollywood shows a marriage, usually it's trapped, it's boring, it's lifeless. That's Hollywood. Hollywood would say the best, most exciting relationship is when what God calls adulterous. And so once again, we need to see that what the world is putting before our eyes is not what God wants us to see. Now, defile. The very word defiled means polluted or dirty. We don't use that word in common everyday language, but you have defiled your shoes, meaning your shoes are dirty, okay? Here he's talking about souls. And so let the marriage bed be undefiled. He's not talking about a physical bed. He's talking about the relationship between a man and a woman. He's talking about keeping it unpolluted. He's talking about keeping the purity within a marriage. And so that's the driving point behind that as, again, a couple has to do that. They have to work on keeping the marriage pure. That begins in the mind. And from that, it goes into their actions, their words, their behavior, even their dress as they think about how they're walking every day with God.
Yeah, these are instructions to disciples of Jesus, right? And we are being given this directive by God himself. I'm sure you, like I, have talked with young people before. More than one young man I have heard say that, the fight to be mentally pure, the way that you were talking about a moment ago, that has been a difficult journey, but I'm going to get married and then those temptations on that sort of a front are going to go away. And that is wishful, naive thinking. Right?
And to be more blunt, okay, someone who is struggling with pornography has the idea, well, if I just get married, that will go away. It does not just go away. It can be dealt with. It can be handled. It can be overcome. But just magically getting married does not make those temptations vanish. Statistics show us more pornography issues are in marriage than outside of marriage. Yeah. And so again, that's something that a couple has to work on together. And since we just mentioned this is not his problem or her problem, but for marriage, it's our problem.
Yeah.
And we're going to work on it together. Together, we will conquer this with Jesus Christ.
Let's take a look at this last phrase before we're done. I'll read the whole verse again. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Now, it is an understatement to say that statement is vastly unpopular in the 21st century. You've already mentioned the way Hollywood depicts much of this. What do we do with that very blunt promise that God is going to judge this? What do we do with that as disciples in 2020?
Well, the reality is from Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians, all of us are going to be judged. We know that. We're not getting out of this without standing before the throne of God. But here in this Hebrew passage, again, he's making this contrast, something that is good to something that is bad, something that is right to something that is wrong. And what he's saying is the wrong is not going to get away with it. The wrong is not going to just escape it. Doesn't escape it because it's popular. Doesn't escape it because everybody's doing it. Doesn't escape it because that's where culture has embraced it and accepted it. We will stand before the judgment seat of God. And so what this statement reminds us is, first of all, this is from God. It's God who made marriage. It's God who set the rules of marriage. And for those who break those rules, ignore those rules, or say, I don't follow those rules, they will face the God who made those rules.
Yeah, I appreciated you hinted at earlier, all of these rules that God has given us, all of these boundaries and instructions and called us to self-denial, really easy for someone to just throw their hands up in the air and, well, why are there so many rules? But I've appreciated how you've gone about this difficult discussion, trying to get us to understand God has not given us these rules because, well, he's trying to withhold the best from us. You mentioned how Hollywood depicts this as, well, if I choose to live a biblically based lifestyle, I'm really going to be missing out. No, what God is warning us is these are the things that break us. These are the things that destroy not just our lives, but perhaps the lives of many in a ripple effect all around us. God has given us rules for our good.
And for a child growing up and seeing his parents don't go by this rule, and then he's bounced around from this couple to this couple, mom has these boyfriends, dad has these girlfriends, back and forth, back and forth. Child's going to grow up saying, you don't go by the rules.
Yeah.
Why do I have to go by the rules? And what we get is what's said at the very end of the book of Judges, that there was no king in Israel, and every person did what was right in his own eyes. Yeah. And sadly, that's kind of where we are today. Yeah.
If you have not had the opportunity to watch last Sunday's sermon, The Rules of Life, I would certainly encourage you to take about 35 minutes, get a Bible, open it. Don't just watch, but read these passages of Scripture in your Bible. Make sure you understand what God Almighty has told us about rules concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. I appreciate, again, Roger, you doing that for us. What's coming up tonight? It's Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Now, we're not gathering in the building, but we have a Bible lesson that will be out there, and everyone can watch us at 7 o'clock. We continue our Philippians series on choosing joy. And, you know, this is a season where we're hearing a lot of Christmas songs about joy to the world and happiness. This is a lifestyle choice for every Christian. No matter what the calendar says, we should choose joy. Our thoughts tonight take us to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul talks about learning the secret of contentment. And we're going to be talking about that. The idea this evening is we talk about contentment. Our focus is on about three or four verses. It's not real long, but there's a lot of stuff packed in there. So we encourage you to join with us. And the outlines are available online. And we encourage you to engage with us.
Be ready at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. I've got the privilege of preaching our last sermon of 2020, Lord willing. And I'm going to talk with you about the view from the finish line. We've talked a whole lot about vision this year and seeing as God sees. I want to take us back to a famous chapter in the Bible. More about that Sunday morning, obviously. But I would love to have you join us in person or online as we talk about the view from the finish line. Roger, in many ways, this is a finish line for us in what we're calling season one of the Heaven Bound podcast. As I mentioned, we'll have one more episode Monday, December 28th, one more Jumpstart Rewind. That will be episode number 150 of the year. We will take a few days off and be back, Lord willing, on Monday, January 4th. In the meantime, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for helping us get this project off the ground and for being such an encouragement in so many ways. We're appreciative of you. We're looking forward to tonight, looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We hope that you will continue to grow right along with us.